99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back with the headlines. Myself and Jimmy Sue. Let's start. Let's start this morning. Interesting headlines that we have in the papers today. We'll start with the Punch and Paper, page 2. EFCC defends new chair as graft allegation surfaces. That's the Punch on page 2. The Economic and Financial Crimes Commission on Tuesday absolved its new chairman, Abdul Rashid Bawa, of allegations of corruption. A few hours after the president, Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired, appointed him as the EFCC chairman on Tuesday. There were reports of his involvement in corruption. But the commission defended him, saying he had no corruption record.
Thank you, Mr. Sharif. Let's get down to business now. Okay, so we have a new chair, suddenly out of the blues. Well, let me quickly add that I haven't been following the Magu issue tenaciously. I thought he might, you know, I would have thought that this appointment would take place after the issue of Magu has been completely settled. But the president, you know, that's how he wants it, and so it shall be. Now, I found this laughable in the Nigerian context. In the Nigerian context, I find it laughable that this new appointee is being accused of corruption and that he diverted 224 forfeited trucks. Okay? 224 forfeited trucks. And I said to myself, is that all? The truth is, even if you go to the Vatican and bring the assistant to the Pope or whatever, you bring him here, within 3 months, he'll be corrupted. I don't think corruption is an issue anymore, much as that. My first reaction, of course, was a joke. But I don't think you would find anybody. It would be extremely difficult to find anybody who is not tainted in some manner, no matter how small. Because corruption, of course, has become a way of life with us, sadly, as it is. Okay, so anyway, what excites me about this gentleman's appointment, I'm not too interested in the corruption allegation leveled against him.
Yeah.
That is neither here nor there. In our own Nigerian context, what is good about this is that he's the first appointee that is not a policeman, but is actually an EFCC trained. He joined the EFCC as a cadet and has gone through the system, has gone through whatever. And so the EFCC is no longer seen.
And he's young, he's 40.
He's 40. He's well educated, he's well exposed, he's been in the system. And I think that all things being equal, he should do well, and we do wish him well. But Mr. Bawa should please note that all eyes will be on him. All eyes will be on him, and everybody will be watching and seeing how he will avoid all the banana slips that will be there. It is being said that all posted from the police to EFCC would have to go back to the police because, of course, in rank, they'd be far too senior to this young gentleman, and that might bring in complications, which means that the EFCC now would virtually become a proper agency, you know, run by those trained, not sending police. The joke in town, of course, is that you want to rid the EFCC of police habits, but I don't see, police are not different from other Nigerians. All of us are complicit in these corrupt issues. So that is what it is. I wish him well. The president has sent his name to the National Assembly.
That's right.
And they say it's in line with whatever it is, one of the laws. And I'm saying, but I thought if I do remember well, in the case of Magu, it was argued that it was not necessary. But well, nothing spoiled, like we say in town. So let's see how Bawa will move. His first 100 days will be watched by us all. But as to the issue of diversion of trucks.
Yeah. The EFCC even explained it. They said that, you know, he was in charge of Port Harcourt's office at the time.
Yes.
So he left. And then because they forfeited about 244 trucks to that Zono command. And then he left before those trucks were auctioned. So according to them, it's just not feasible for anybody to accuse him of anything when he wasn't even there, when he wasn't even in charge, when those things were auctioned out.
Well, if the EFCC statement is anything to go by,
yeah,
it means that they've been looking for something to hang on this gentleman and can't find any, which means we probably might have somebody who would need very little sanitation.
Right.
You know, you have to sanitize, yeah, very little sanitation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll hope they will be able to do that. Let's go to the Nation right now. Front page story here. North governors rule out ethnicity in Ibadan mayhem. North governors rule out ethnicity in Ibadan mayhem. It comes with a rider here. Market leadership tussle behind conflict. So those who are fanning the embers of ethnicity using weekend's mayhem at Shasha Market in Ibadan are mischievous. Kebbi State Governor Atiku Baguru said yesterday, according to him, after a fact-finding visit to the ancient city by a delegation of North governors, they found out that a long-running leadership tussle in the market was a remote cause of the conflict.
This is a bit of cheering news. More so coming from a northern governor. I'm sure I don't need to explain the implications to you. But there's a lot like this going on.
Right, right.
You know, where an event happens and before you know it, it's ethnicized. And if you saw the videos that went viral, though, it would frighten you. You remember, I think we spoke about it. It will frighten you. But I'm glad that the northern governor himself, one of the northern governors,
right,
I said it's just a tussle, calling a dog a bad name, to hang it. So, but I wouldn't leave. I've been highly critical, to be honest with you, of especially the Ogun State governor. But in this case, I must admit that so far so good, and his other colleagues, so far so good, they're showing far more resolve than even the federal government. Though, let us quickly add that we are not too sure whether this isn't some collaboration between the state governors and the federal government. But they're showing far more resolve.
Do you honestly think that this is not being delusional to have thought that, according to them, long-running leadership tussle caused that mayhem at that market?
Are we
shying away from the real issue here?
Let me safely say that we are managing a crisis.
Okay.
And there is little that we would want to say in public. My first reaction was to say that the video that I saw didn't particularly show what this northern governor has been saying. But if that is what the northern governor is saying, so be it. I mean, it means that we are making at least the first step towards reconciliation.
Right.
You see, in managing a crisis of this nature, Yoruba say when trees fall on top of each other, you take away the first, one that is the topmost. Is to let tempers go down. It is very possible that there had been ethnic tension, which the leadership tussle now dovetailed into. But you wouldn't expect, a governor or anybody who has a peace mission to start splitting hairs over that.
No, they didn't have to, go straight and say this is... They just say they can just calm people down. I mean, this is the first time we're hearing this. It doesn't mean that the Oyo State governor hasn't gone and investigated what is happening or what happened there. So why didn't he say this?
I think what I suspect would have happened at their meetings and so on and so forth. After they've gotten the report, for strategic reasons, they'll be telling one of the northern governors to give this report. You know, it kind of douses tension, some sort. We must commend them. I must commend Dakwa Biodun and the other governor. I must commend them for taking this peace initiative. I think it's quite a good. It's a good way to handle it.
Okay.
And don't forget that you are talking of the masses, really, who might not understand the intricacies of what's going on. You see, it's like what I suddenly discover now: a rash for everybody wanting to leave Nigeria, thinking that their problems will be solved if they need it. If you leave Nigeria, in some cases, your troubles have just started. Imagine the Western region now, if you excised it out of and it now became one country.
Right.
Imagine the kind of leadership you'd be having and what they will subject. Don't forget, it's the federal balance that is keeping people like you and I alive. It's the federal balance. So when we talk about state police sometimes, I have my fears internally. if you put this in relation to an allegation made, for example, made against the CJ of Ondo by that gentleman, now it gives you a feel of the kind of things that can happen.
Hmm.
Thank God for federal balance in our lives. So are people need to. I keep saying the problem of most, in fact, most Nigerian communities is their immediate leadership.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
I keep saying that. Your problem is not going to solve by pulling. In fact, your problem just got started. And I started the example of during the, I think, Jakonde funeral, during the whatever.
Right.
Somebody said that, I can't remember what it was that. Okay, is this gentleman that... is on Instagram. There's a rebel, Lagos rebel, and says that we are going to take this matter to EFCC in Abuja.
Indeed.
Anyway,
we are picking up the Vanguard now, from the Punch, the Nation, now to the Vanguard. Insecurity, prove to Nigerians you don't support criminality. Southwest governors tell FG. It comes with the following writers. Say Sunday Igbo host is a child of circumstance. It's a bold statement, Afenifere saying that. Investigate Shasha violence, reps tell IGP. Makinde gives conditions to reopen market as sports minister calls for peaceful coexistence. Insecurity, prove to Nigerians you don't support criminality. Southwest governors tell FG.
If you look at the headline, it's as if the Southwest governors were challenging the president. But let us look at the language used. Let's look at what he's saying. This is from Rotimi Akeredolu and is the chairman of the Southwest Governors Forum.
Right.
But this is how he put it. He said, what we expect from Mr. President is for him to come out and let Nigerians know that he does not support criminality. He once said, if you find anybody with arms without a license, they should be arrested. Security agencies must be at work without rest. Everyone has said no to open grazing. Then the law should follow. Okay? That is what Akeredolu said. But look at the way the headline is cast in a combatant manner. Prove to Nigerians you don't support criminality. Southwest governor is a bit combative, but it wasn't. The language wasn't combative. I'm just trying to state, you know, the damage that can be done where you just read headlines and move on without reading the story.
Right.
I'm going to advise people, after you've seen the sensational headline, take your time to read
to go through it.
This makes it look combative, and is not helped by saying it's a bold statement, Afenifere, and so on and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing being bold about telling the president what you think he should do. I don't understand all these things. Because what you find is that some people just want to keep hitting up
the policy.
You know, the man said it in a very gentle manner, and you know what we expect from Mr. President is that's all. Then a very says, it's a bold statement.
Okay, let's remain with the Vanguard. Enyigbeti, Buhari, Okonjo-Iweala, Mo Ibrahim, Adesina offer policy requirement for Greater Lagos.
Yes, the Enyigbeti Summit is an annual package put together, I think, by the Lagos State Government. And to look at developments and so on. They've been doing it now, I don't know for how many years, but very little. You get an impression that whatever is decided there is thrown somewhere and just gathers moss. Yesterday you had Buhari at virtual at the seminar, Okonjo-Iweala, Mo Ibrahim, and additional. These are top guns, and they have offered policy requirements for Greater Lagos. As the governor was there, I just wish that the Emeritus himself was there, because whether you like it or not, his influence still holds. And all, you know, advice was given, but the advice I found most practical. Most practical, because there is a lot of touring here and there, how to become a modern city, this is digital, all kinds of things. But the most practical is from Mo Ibrahim. And he says, Mo Ibrahim advised the Lagos State Government. Are you with me, Sherry?
I'm with you completely.
Advised the Lagos State Government to focus on the provision of basic services. Basic services and a peaceful environment to enable young people and businesses thrive. In this regard, he said, the government should focus on transportation, waste management, and especially education. Mm. This is the one that makes sense, and this is what I think this idea of wanting to be like his predecessor, so yeah. Want to be like, just knock it out. Mm. For example, basic things. If you come out to Heathrow, is the biggest entrance into the UK. Mm. If you want to take a bus, I think it's Terminal 2 or so. If you go to the bus stop, it is exactly similar to what Fashola built in Obalindi here. Mm. It's very functional. There's a shade for the passengers, seats for a few of them, maybe the elderly, and then the bus just comes back and picks and go. Look at what our own governor built in Oshodi. I can't make any sense out of it as I speak. I've had an argument with so many people, so many of his supporters, and I said, this is a white elephant. This is like buying a Rolls Royce and wanting to run between Osun State and Benin on a daily basis. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I take most advice and say, let us concentrate on the basics. Do not want to run where you should be walking. In fact, where you should be crawling. Hmm. You know, And we can no longer play catch up. It's too late. So. The very little and basic we can manage, given our meager resources, half or almost three quarters of it that finds its way into private pocket, the remaining one quarter, let us manage it as much as we can.
Right.
Do you understand? So that, but the others talk, and then there's something else here. Okonjo-Iweala says that one of the things that will help us develop is broadband. Part of this, he says, that broadband for every household. And embrace artificial intelligence and digital economy. They ensure the steady and sustainable supply of electricity and renewable energy and so on and so forth. But the emphasis is on the youth. Additional two says you must invest in education by turning tertiary institutions into world class. He said something. He said, youth are not the problem of Lagos. Mm. They are the asset. Mm. Mm. So I hope the governor was there to listen to this. All these grandiose plans, put them aside and let us do something basic and manageable.
Right.
And less spinning.
Mm. Less spinning.
Tony Khan is coming tomorrow. Yeah. He's a PR, renowned PR consultant. Mm. And we are going to look at all these pins and so on and so forth, both at federal and state level, and do the best we can to advise them on how to go forward. So.
Right. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let us know what you think about the headlines you've been listening to this morning, and we'll take a few comments from those who passed from and on Twitter in a moment. Let's go to another story here from page 7 of the Vanguard. How Ondo Chief Judge detained me for 3 years, stepbrother.
Honestly, this is embarrassing. It made the rounds yesterday, and I'm glad that as of now we have a response. Mm. This gentleman, Olupelumi Fagboyegun, is said to be the half-brother of the CJ of the state. Mm-hmm. To cut a long story short, he is being charged for breaking an entry into what he claims is his father's house. Mm. He said that I'd been living in abroad for 30 years. He came on holiday to my father's house and so on and so forth. So when he went in, of course, there's a family rift. You can't take that out of it.
Yeah.
The Chief Justice says that what is happening is the handiwork of some persons and so on and so forth. She goes into a long story about DNA and so on and so forth. It's a long story, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And he says that one morning he went with thugs wielding cutlasses, but was prevented from entering the premises. Hmm. He says 1 or 2 years after my mom died, he went to one of my father's premises where my cousin wanted to establish a poultry farm. Then, of course, they accused that he turned up with thugs wielding cutlasses. He says the police looked into the matter, and by the time the police got there, he had escaped. And so on and so forth. And she says that she doesn't even know the magistrate and this and that and that. Well, the governor has ordered a probe. The question I ask is, how come a man that is charged for breaking an entry, and according to what he says, even if he was guilty, he would have just gone to prison for 1 year. Three years, the case is still on, and he has not even been granted bail. Mm. You know? And this is what the judge says. He says that they should ask the said Mr. Opelumi Fagboyegun. I wonder why she uses the word the said. Is she claiming that he's not a half-brother? Why you say the said? But anyway, and said which police station or prison is keeping him. One thing I noticed about the video, okay, is that he was not talking from a cell. He was talking from what even looked like a bedroom. In fact, let me be very honest. The first thing my first reaction was that, is this a case of, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something gone wrong in the head. Because it looked like it was. So where is he being detained? Does that look like a bedroom?
Yeah.
I think there's more than meets the eye, but I'm glad that the Akeredolu Akiti, being an SAN, you know, has ordered a probe into the matter. But he could shout out, there are thousands of people that go through this.
Right.
Simple domestic affairs, you know, simple domestic affairs that could lead to incarceration of some sort.
Okay. Let's take this headline from the Vanguard still. Clark, other Niger Delta leaders, militants, land-based, Gumi. Clark, other Niger Delta leaders, militants, land-based, Gumi.
It's funny because what Gumi supporters or whatever are asking for is exactly what we did for the Niger Delta militants and set a precedent. And therefore I find this a bit laughable. It was good entertainment to read what they had to say. All said and done, we have to make a firm decision. You know, we have to make a firm decision on whether we'll continue to negotiate with renegades, whether that will be a new pattern. Once that happens, it will never stop. I must say that under pressure, I was one of those who supported negotiating with the Niger Delta militants. I put my hands up on that, and you can see where it has gotten us now. So I think we've gotten to a point where, because during the Niger Delta crisis, between you and I, we had very little option. You couldn't go fighting. You're not going to be fighting them. No, you couldn't do that. So, but you've set a precedent. And if we do what Shegumi does, you don't know who's going to turn up next. So we need to have a very firm policy. But in doing that, you have to make sure that you have fairness and, you know, fairness and justice in the system that doesn't bring out the likes of the militants, the Gumi's people, and the likes of Igboho in the Southwest. You have to be free and fair in our society and let peace reign. You have to eradicate poverty to the barest minimum. Because that's what brings about this frustration, that brings about all this agitation for wanting to leave Nigeria and so on and so forth. These are the things that bring it about.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll go back to the nation right now. Jimmy, let's look at this story here. Daniel, ex-Army Chief Yejerika, two reps, join APC. That's Winger Daniel, by the way.
I wanted to do Parapo for my friend. Okay. You know, we were in school together. I wanted to do Parapo to help him announce his movement to APC, which I don't know. I'm not really sure whether it's an achievement or not. Because the kind of movement you see across the political divide just make you think that truly politics hasn't been well grounded in Nigeria. People just
our democracy,
not being well grounded. Keep shifting back and forth and back and forth. I thought that Gbenga Daniel had said that he had quit politics, but now he's with APC. I wish him all the best, and I hope this will be the last of movement. It would be nice to see people out of principle just stay in one. You know,
stay
in one. I agree. Place. I've been an Arsenal fan all my life.
You're an Arsenal fan?
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Okay.
But I'm a Crystal Palace sympathizer.
Okay, why is that? Why Crystal Palace?
They're my neighborhood team now.
All right, then. We're going to take... let's take some comments. We don't have time for... we're almost done. This person says, nothing wrong with Oshodi. State governor should mandate all interstate transport companies terminate there. We can then connect trains and local buses and taxis from there. We need to reduce number of vehicles.
The terminal at Oshodi is a harebrained idea, a complete waste of public funds. you know, it's just an idea that is in the head and should have stayed there. I rest my case. If you've been to other countries that are run functionally, don't look at Dubai that is created for as an entertainment. Look at countries that are run functionally.
Jimmy, we have to go now. What's coming up at 9? We have to go.
Yes, I will end this sentence at 9. No, 9 today. We are having Diabumi and Nedu. Nedu is going to be your guest. Yes,
oh,
and Adeola Bankole.
Oh, that will be fun. That will really be fun.
Just have fun.
All right. Join Jimmy at 9 for Daily Digest. I am Sheriff. Many thanks to MTN, our sponsors. Good morning to you.